Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Pixelated Sausage Show. Hi. How are we all doing? Hopefully well. We're in the second week of April. My father just had a birthday. 77 years old. Hooray. And I am currently... So there's not much news for me to talk about. But before I get to what I've been playing... Did I say I'm Marcus Nez? Because that's who I am. And if I already did, well, you could double me. I'm sorry for that. But, speaking of butts, the thing that's on the opposite end of the butt, for me and other people who are, sexually speaking, male, is a penis. Though, ladies have their own instrument for letting this stuff out of their bodies. And that stuff that I'm talking about is pee-pee. We have a ding-dong. We, as in the collective male, sexually speaking, people. But I pee. I know everyone's saying, oh yeah, let's just say, get to what I've been playing. Well, not get to what I've been playing. Let me just know. No, let me know. I already know. Let me tell you so that you know. Then you can know with me because I already know. Then I know, you know, we all know that what I've been playing this past week and what I'll be talking about eventually, hopefully sooner than later on this episode, includes Let's Revolution, Rough Gainer, which is just, I'm assuming that's how you say it, G-H-A-N-O-R, but Rough Gainer sounds like some weird YouTube fitness bro channel. I don't like it. I don't like that name. I hope it's Rough Gainer, because then it sounds almost like an anime. What is that thing, Conan? Gai Gagar? Well, there's also Gegege no Kitaro, but that's a completely different thing. Gai 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 that shows is great. And it got a Blu-ray released in the States, I believe, recently-ish from Discotheque, which does God's work in terms of getting the license, the rights to older and obscure-ish shows and putting them out on Blu-ray, whether it be a proper upscaling or just SDN Blu-ray, which I do appreciate. I wish bigger studios would do that, like Nickelodeon with the TMNT series. It's just a nice way of consolidating media and unifying cases and all that. But Ruff Gaynor, and then the Grandia HD collection, which may have been around for a while and it just recently came out on Xbox. I have very quick thoughts on that, as well as Ruff Gaynor for technical reasons. Then Taxi Life, a city driving simulator, 7 Days Heroes, Flight Path, Adventures in Venaris, which could have really benefited from some stronger theming and changing the Venaris to Venereal and it'd be a game about, because it's a shmup, but what if it was a shmup about destroying venereal diseases? That's something that's probably already been done and exists in dozens of iterations on itch.io, if nowhere else. Probably on Steam too, because Steam just lets everything on it. And then Soko Frog. Wasn't there something else I played? Right Keeper or something? There is something else. What is it? What did I play? Let me get that information, because I know I played something else. Let's go to here. All right. No. Knowledge Keeper. That's the other one. Let me write that down. Last but not least, Knowledge Keeper. We all know who doesn't keep knowledge, and that is me. Because if I did, I'd remember I play Knowledge Keeper. But I remember the game. I just forgot I didn't put it on the list. But speaking of ding-dongs and pee-pee, which is what I know y'all are excited to get back to, I have been a peeing, a frequent delian. I've been peeing a lot. And I've wondered about it. Just in a... I don't want to pee so much. Why am I peeing so much? And I came across multiple studies that say this, and it makes sense, and I was wondering this myself. Does peeing, when you feel just the smidgiest smidgen of pee-pee in your pee container, mean you should pee? Or is it bad for you to just pee when you feel the slightest urge to pee? Should you hold it until you feel like, ooh, I could really pee now? You don't want to wait too long and have it feel like your pee shooter is going to explode. But also, you shouldn't just go, because you can maybe go a little bit, but you don't really need to go. And I've been doing that quite a lot for a while now, where I would walk by the bathroom and I don't really have to pee, but I can tell there's a little pee in there, and I'm like, oh, well, I'm here. Might as well just get rid of this. And I want to teach my ding-dong to be better about just calm down, okay? Just look it down at you, calm down, all right? Let us all agree. Let us all do that to our own pee-pee things. Look down. Calm down. Calm down. This podcast is officially... I just decided... You know what? It's the Pixelated Sausage Show. Is it the Xbox show? The PlayStation show? The video game podcast? No, it's just the Pixelated Sausage Show. So what does that mean? That means it's me. Because I am Pixelated Sausage. So in addition to talking about the games like I do... There's going to be plenty of this kind of crap, probably. It's just going to be off the rails all the time, because whatever. And I swear this Sunday, which is that the 14th? Yeah. This Sunday, the 14th, because part of why I really wasn't prepared to put out the Attack the Backlog episode, version 2.0, episode 1.0, Ghost Recon Wildlands version, who knows, 0.0, is because that was my father's birthday. So, kind of busy. Surprise, surprise, my father's birthday, because who knows how many he has left. More important than the podcast Attack the Backlog. But I swear that'll be up with a early Friday release, audio-only version for patrons in the $5 tier, because they get all the oatmeal they could ever hope to eat. So get excited about that, but maybe not as excited as you may think to get, because, spoilers, my feelings, I have to get back to the game too, I haven't played in a while, which might tell you everything you need to know, and I'll just leave it at that. But in addition to that, it has just been one hell of a hectic week for me. And I'm feeling exhausted with so much things going on. So many things going on. But also, something I highly recommend, if you have the means to do it, is... if you're someone who has put a lot of things in various wish lists, a lot of little things that you'd like to get, but you can hold off on, but you know they're there, and they're always there. Maybe start chipping away those lists. Because once you do, and if you get close to the point where those little things that you've kind of wanted, you either decide, you know what, I don't actually want this, I don't need this, let's just disappear this from our memory, or why don't we finally pull the trigger and get this? When you don't have any of those left, it's incredibly freeing. I'm almost there, and it's going to help a lot, as well as these last few eBay listings when they're gone. But the wish list thing I recommend, because then it gets you to the point where if something comes up that you may want to do, you may want to get, what have you, you don't think about all the other stuff that you put on the side and that you should just put this on the side too. No, you can say, hey, I can justify getting this. It helps when you're like me, single, no kids, which I'm not going to say I highly recommend, because people who have those things enjoy them. I would enjoy a significant other. Kids, I was thinking about it again and how, oh my God. I used to say, I don't want kids, but I'm not closed to them because find the right person, things can change. No, even with the right person, I just thinking about having kids and that experience, I'm so happy that a lot of people enjoy that and they want that and they find it rewarding and all of that. I don't understand that. I could never, just give me a cat. I'll just get another cat if I want to feel something. So, cats better than people. We all know that already in general. But a significant other would be nice. It's just not super easy. And very likely already met the love of my life. And that whole thing was just, that was a roller coaster. It was a roller coaster that I had to bail from. And it is what it is. There's no getting back on that roller coaster either. This isn't When Harry Met Sally, where that one couple, we were together. We were married, then we got divorced. Then we saw each other again in an elevator 20 years later. And we've been married ever since. I don't know what voice that is, because it definitely doesn't sound like that woman. It wasn't the woman anyway, it was the guy. The guy was saying everything. It's like, oh, what was it again? And she had all the answers. He was telling the story, couldn't remember shit, but she remembered all the details. Those parts of When Harry Met Sally are nice. Overall, not a great movie. But I'm glad you enjoyed it overall, Angie. I'd love to know what you think about the whole orgasm scene in the restaurant. Because I understand, yeah. 100%. From a writing standpoint, a scene standpoint, you look at that and you think, man, this is gold. People are going to love that. And people did love it. But from a character standpoint, from a believability standpoint, I don't buy... excuse me. I don't buy for a second that Meg Ryan's character in particular would ever fucking do that. That does not seem in character of her at all. I don't think a lot of people would do that in general, but her character specifically, bull fucking shit. And I've talked about this multiple times. When Billy Crystal is talking about making a woman meow by pleasing her sexually so good, he's so good at doing the, I was going to say doing the doo-doo, that's not right. I mean, some people like getting doo-dooed on, sexually speaking. I remember when I saw that pop up as a kid, I was like, oh my God, what is this? This is not something I thought existed. And then there's poo-poo on this guy's chest. Speaking of doo-doo on chests, that's a bad transition because I actually like Les Revolution. So, I like oatmeal. And speaking of oatmeal and liking things, I also like Les Revolution, which is a rogue light, I guess, because you do get these stones that unlock things. And the whole rogue light versus rogue like thing is something I'm always curious about. Does rogue light just need to have anything that you can unlock? Whether it be additional cards, additional classes / characters, anything that makes what you have available initially different, because then yeah. But this is a rogue light, like where you're following a trail of, there's no branching paths. So this is like Slay the Spire, but no branching paths. You're just going down level until you get to the end of an area, an end of a run, very short runs. But instead of it being a deck builder or a dice builder or a tactics game like Into the Breach, it is gamifying in a kind of tactics way, Minesweeper. And I was very curious about this when I heard about it. I think Enchi is the person who first told me about it. I may have heard about it through some other podcasts, but my recollection is Enchi mentioning it and making me curious about it because I don't really like Minesweeper. I remember playing it a lot as a kid, but what I would do as a kid is turn it on. I would play it on Windows 98, I'm presuming. Make it so that the player is as large as it can get and that there are as few bombs in the play area as possible so that I could just click a space and then would reveal a third of the play area. And that was super satisfying. But playing it normally, I was too young and dumb to figure it out and too young and dumb to care to try and figure it out. I much preferred playing solitaire because I love solitaire. Solitaire is, if I really had to try and think about it, solitaire's maybe a top 25 video game of all time for me. But I don't think I would probably do that just because as much as I love the video game version of it, the Windows classic version of it, where when you win, you'd see the flowing cards. That was always very, very cool and satisfying. It's still a physical card game. That would be like saying Ticket to Ride for Xbox Live Arcade is one of my favorite video games. You could say that, sure, but that seems kind of... really? Also, in most cases, board games are still way better playing in person, physically. Except in cases where some board games require a lot of math and a lot of busy work in that sense. Like Carcassonne, I find, because I've only played it a few times physically, and I never owned it, or... Oh, God. Oh, I'm so sorry for all this coughing and shit. But I never set up a game myself, so rules-wise, scoring-wise, I never got a strong grasp on it to make sense of it, playing it physically and trying to run a game. So having the digital version do all that for me, that's nice. But back on the topic of Let's Revolution, it takes Minesweeper and gives it a tactics layer of gameplay on it, where you're going from area to area, the areas are getting progressively bigger, and what you have to do, at least in the first area where you have 5 or 6 classes / characters that you'll unlock over time. I unlocked the second class, which is a stealth class, unless it's random how they deal them out. But the initial one is a typical fighter, a bit of a brute. And what you're trying to do is find the king in each area who will then run away when you find them, and then that will allow you to move to the next area. But you can continue exploring and revealing the tiles in the level you're currently on to gain extra coins, find stores and locations that will allow you to upgrade some of your abilities, get new abilities, heal yourself, replenish your, as this main class, your arrows, which is the only way you can do it is at the shop. But in those levels, how you're trying to find the king is through Minesweeper gameplay. So you'll start on tile, and it'll have a number in it that is telling you how many of the tiles touching that tile you're on have a path tile touching them. And along the path are these shops and the king, as well as enemies and the occasional mine, because the game does have mines. And the way you deal with these is to use your attacks, which require energy, to reveal certain tiles. So with the main class, you have a whirlwind attack, which will reveal every tile in one range. But you'll be able to gain new weapons like a spear that allows you to do two tiles in front of you. You have your bow, which you can shoot 2 to 3 spaces away from you. You'll be able to upgrade certain things so that the energy usage or the cooldown timer is lessened. And you gain energy back by... There are various means. Taking damage, you'll get some energy back. And so on. And you can get some abilities that'll help in that manner as well. And there are consumables that'll heal you or replenish your energy or do damage in a specific spot, etc. But the main way of replenishing energy is by revealing tiles, by going walking on them. It's all pretty simple, and at first I wasn't feeling it, but after a few runs I completed one run as the main character, and that opened up a new game plus for them. And I guess there are 5 or 6 levels of new game plus per class. I was really starting to get into it. One of the really nice things about it, and I'm assuming this is the same for all the classes, is how quick runs last. This isn't like Slay the Spire or other games where runs can take a while. I would say if you're focused and you're paying attention, you're not constantly doing other things, on average, a run will take 15 minutes. Maybe I'm underestimating, but it seems way breezier. And part of that, too, is because you don't have these branching paths. You don't have these narrative bits, these things where, okay, maybe you'll go to a shop here, or you'll go to a campsite here, and you'll go do this thing, or you do that thing. Everything is a battle. Everything is a play area. That you're doing the same thing in each area, getting progressively harder, more enemies. And it's fun. It's a good time. It's a good, simple time. If you're like me and you're not the biggest fan of Minesweeper, or you don't even know what Minesweeper is, it may be the game that doesn't get you to like Minesweeper. I can't see myself. I'm mildly curious to go back and play proper Minesweeper. But more so than that, I just think this game has taken a gameplay style that I don't particularly like and made it enjoyable by making it smaller and more focused instead of having these giant players. And adding additional elements to it and elements that make it more satisfying for me who likes these types of games. The art's all right as well. And there's one accessibility option, I think, which isn't in an accessibility option screen or anything, but you can I believe, turn on an option that will show you how many enemies are in every area so that you know how many to look for. And also, when you are doing your runs, they'll tell you that you've cleared an area, so you'll know that too. But I'm enjoying it so far, and I'm looking forward to playing more. It is definitely a Steam Deck Switch type of game. But even more than that, if this exists on mobile, playing it with touch controls would be the way to go. That's the only little thing that's a little frustrating about it. It can be a bit cumbersome to move over to a tile or to scroll over to a tile and then press the A button to move over to it or whatnot. But overall, man. What I am not a fan of is Rough Gainer, which is a much more traditional deck building type of roguelite, which is way, way, way more narrative heavy than most, if not all, of the other deck building roguelites with branching paths and all that kind of stuff that I've played. Instead of having the branching paths, you have your little hub area, and there will be various things you can do, whether it be a fight or a bit of narrative or more of a not just like a random encounter, I guess you'd call it. And gameplay wise, it works as you'd expect. You get 3 action points. You draw your cards. They all have a certain amount of action points they require to use. You'll build strategies and combine cards in ways to make them most beneficial to you. You'll see what the enemy is going to do, so you can decide if you attack or defend, which is the same in Let's Revolution. You'll see, it's not a question of whether they'll attack or defend or do this or that. It's just, this is how many turns, how many moves of yours it is until they attack. And if you attack them, and you'll see how much life they have. If you attack them and they'll still have life left, you'll reset that attack counter as well. But also a key thing with them is it has nothing to do with range. An enemy could be right next to you and they'll hit you, but they can also be on the other side of the map and still hit you, which can be annoying with some enemies that like to teleport around whenever you hit them. Sons of bitches. Sometimes they teleport very far away, and I don't like that. But in Rough Gainer, it works like you'd expect. But it's not really worth talking about the game so far, because at least on Xbox, which is where I played it, in a half hour of play, I had the game crash on me in the middle of a battle twice. The first time, I was annoyed, but I said, hey, maybe that was just a fluke. It's okay. I'll just load it up and see how much progress was lost. Okay, it's just that battle. Let me go through this whole dialogue stuff again. Okay, things didn't play out the same. I'm not in that battle now. Whatever. Let's go do this other stuff now. And then, whatever, 15 minutes later, another crash to dash. And crashed me once. Shame on me. Crashed me twice. Shame on you. I don't play you anymore unless I see an update that says this shit's been handled. Because I'm not in the habit of playing a game that's going to keep me on edge. Not because it's challenging or scary or anything other than just fucking, you know, this could crash me at any time and I could lose a certain amount of progress. Nope, not doing it. So that's Rough Gainer. Right now, not gaining much. Then the Grandia HD Collection. I don't know if I'm losing my mind, but this sure seems like it has some pretty bad performance issues, optimization issues It just seems like a bad HD remaster port, whatever, on Xbox, where it is very jittery. When I was finally given control of the character and can move around, it was giving me a headache. In cutscenes, the in-engine cutscenes, characters at times would just sort of be vibrating. And I looked at some gameplay of the PS1 version on YouTube, and that was not happening in that version. So I'm assuming that's some kind of issue with this remaster. I find it odd that, I'm assuming this is the way it was back on PlayStation, but maybe allow some, do some changes for this one. But when characters are talking in the in-engine cutscenes and whatnot, you can't, if they've revealed all the dialogue, and there is voice acting, which is, it's okay, it's whatever. But if you read all the dialogue and you want to just get to the next bit, you can't skip it. You can't skip ahead if you're a fast reader and you just want to consume it that way, and you can't skip things just in general. You can't just say, I don't even want to consume this, let me just skip it all. So I want to play these games because I've heard good things about them, but this has made me say probably too expensive, the physical PS1 version, but maybe I should just do a little bit of emulation. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe this will get some patches, because it would be nice to get some achievements with them. But that is a Grandia HD collection on Xbox. Then Taxi Life, a city driving simulator, is a game where you play as a taxi driver in Barcelona. And it has a lot of finicky details. So you can roll down individual windows, roll them up. There's a lot of detail in the driving. And of course, they want you to follow the traffic laws and all that, or the customers you pick up might not be so happy. Use your turn signal, so on and so forth. The driving controls are a bit loose, but I only want to bring it up because I think an insane design choice ruins the entire experience for me and its potential to be a somewhat relaxing taxi driving simulator. And that is, in order to pick up fares, you have to go to the map menu and then select them from there. And then when you do that, they will show up in the world and have a little area in front of them where you can park and pick them up. If you don't do that, but you see a fare on the mini map, they won't be in the world. You can't just freely drive around it, not going into the menu, picking up fares and going about doing your job. You have to go into the menu every single time to select the fare, and then they'll show up. You can even park where you know when you do that, it's going to say, here, park here. And then you go to the menu and you do that, and then you get out of the menu and it's like, oh, I magically manifested out of nothing. It's insane. I don't understand it. So that singular decision makes it something that I have no interest in continuing with, unless that gets changed. Because I just, am I alone here in thinking that's insane? Like, why? Why? I'm a taxi driver. I'm not an Uber driver. I would get it if this was Uber driving simulator and I was going into my app to pick the fare I was going to pick up. Oh, this person seems all right. Oh, this person's not that far away. I'm a taxi driver. Or is that how taxis work now? I don't think they do, based on my experience. So that just, maybe that's how they work in Barcelona. Maybe this is just me being a dumb American who doesn't understand Barcelona. Tell me, Barcelona listeners. Tell me, Barcelona travelers. That's Taxi Life is Sitting Driving Simulator. And 7 Days Heroes is a side-scrolling action platformer that I played a handful of levels of, and it was fine. They were gradually giving me some new abilities. I had this dog with me. I think it was a dog that kept getting stuck behind me, and I don't think the game would have cared if I just left them there. They were driving me nuts. But you're going through these areas, defeating all the enemies, and then collecting these things they drop, and then getting to the end, utilizing the red key to get open the door, at least in the first area. First bit of levels. It was fine, but immediately forgettable. Then Flight Path Adventures in Veneris is a vertical scrolling shmup that has some cool systems in it. I like the upgrade system where you're able to improve your ship during runs by buying new weapons and installing them on various parts of your ship. But you need to also pay attention to how much power they use and then purchase a more powerful generator so that you'll have more power to equip all these weapons. And you also upgrade your shield and your base health and all that. I like that. I think that's fun. It's satisfying. It gives you something to think about and what weapons you want, how powerful you want them to be, where you want them placed. If you think homing missiles in this particular part of your ship make more sense than placing them here. So there's a fair amount of strategy there, and I like that. What I don't like about it, and I hate this with any vertical scrolling shmup, is when enemies can come from the bottom of the screen. I don't like that. I don't think that adds a satisfying challenge. I think that adds a cheap challenge. And this game likes to do that a lot. And I found that very, very annoying. And it took a significant amount away from me and my ability to enjoy the game. So your mileage will vary there. You already know, I'm sure, if that's something you like or don't like or am indifferent about when it comes to vertical scrolling shmups. So keep that in mind, and based on how you feel about that, I'd say give it a shot or pass. Because I'm pretty sure it's not a super expensive game either, but in the grand scheme of shmups, ignoring that, one of the better ones I've played and enjoyed. Arts, whatever, but gameplay-wise, it was fun. Not every level ends with a boss either, which is a little disappointing. And with the weapons, what was the... Nothing, never mind. Then Soko Frog is one of those Sokoban games where you are moving objects onto spaces and so on and so forth. And it's fine. It's one of them. And I didn't think it had a satisfying ramp up and challenge in what I played. But maybe it'll start getting challenging. But the dozen or so levels I played, it all felt fairly breezy. I don't even have to think about this. Which was disappointing, but maybe it has a slower ramp up than other games of this ilk. But I remember there was the ice one or something I played not that long ago that had a really satisfying increase of for me. That kind of challenge, that satisfying and consistent increase is what keeps me engaged and wanting to play the next level and the next level and the next level. If I play a handful of levels or a dozen levels that don't feel like they've changed all that much from one to the other, from one to level 10 or so, then I start losing interest real fast. But then Knowledge Keeper is a game where you're trying to get to a yellow crystal, at least in the first area. And you do this by going through doors that'll change your color between yellow and blue. And in some cases, you have to move around boxes to open up paths by placing them on the floor so that you can walk over them. And then there are certain pathways that you can only go through when you're a certain color. And then there are switches that allow you to turn off certain obstacles and so on and so forth. So there is a constant adding of elements to increase the challenge, to increase the complexity, which is nice. What's not nice is the moving of boxes. It is very, very finicky and very, very frustrating. And that started to turn me off. And I don't know if the solution to that would be something as simple as just making the movement tile-based instead of free. But maybe that would have been all that would need to change. But that was pretty frustrating for me. That is it in terms of what I've been playing. So that will do it for this year's episode of the Pixelated Sausage Show. Once again, I'm Marcus Nez. Y'all can find me pretty much everywhere at PX Sausage. If you enjoy this here show or any of the stuff I do and what have you, you can go over to patreon.com/PXS to support me and my nonsense. There are multiple tiers. Before the all-you-can-oatmeal tier, you get access to the monthly Q&A, as well as additional little random drops on the Patreon where I'll talk about this, that, or whatever. And for the Q&A, you can ask as many questions as you want and even throw in some requests as well, like asking me to sing this or that. And there is nothing I won't sing short of anything that may have language in it that I do not want to say for obvious reasons. You can fill in the blanks there. That is, again, patreon.com/PXS. In addition to the Patreon, you can find links to the site, the YouTube, the Discord, and so much more over at pxsausage.com. But that is it. That is all. As always, thank you for watching or listening. I hope you enjoy this here episode, and I hope you have both a wonderful rest of your day, a lovely rest of your week, and a wonderful weekend. But for now, adios, arrivederci.